Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello, it's Wednesday, the 13th of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and just FYI, I am entirely photoshopped from head to toe. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review, where we squish all the papers together to make a big ball, then kick it until the good bits fall out. For the photos, we get Prince William to grab the pap shots, and then Kate spends hours making everyone look thinner and cleaner because she's so bored locked up in that tower. And we're very grateful to all you lovely lot that have decided to join our Paper Cuts Supporters Club. Your monthly £3 and £5 are making a huge difference to our general well-being as we're spending them all on grab bag quavers and gin. Not really. All the money you give us goes on newspapers, producers and John Elledge's cross-country split-safe train tickets. So, if you too fancy helping us out and getting ad-free episodes, a special extra story at the end of the show, and maybe even a Paper Cuts mug or a t-shirt, then why not head on over to the show notes and click on back.papercutshow.com to see how you too can become a Paper Cuts supporter. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Pram in the hallway. Lily Allen says her pop career was wrecked by having kids. How much is that doggy in the window? Vet bills are far too high, says competition watchdog. And tweeds and steeds. The Cheltenham races are on and the papers love it. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we'll bang out 800 words by 10:30 a.m. on whatever you sodding well like. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is New Statesman writer and delighted visitor to strange Tory towns, it's John Elledge. Hi, John.
What do you think I've been up to with this introduction? This is absolutely baffling to me.
It's because you travel around visiting things on trains.
Yeah, no, but not recently. I've just been to Alderney.
Oh, see? Oh, yes, that's nice.
Can't get there by train.
No, that's true. A bit of a sea involved. And making her debut on the show is comedian and excellent imitator of strange Tory ladies. It's Rosie Holt. Hi, Rosie.
Oh, hello.
I thought you were an actual Tory MP till just then.
So what have you got on the front pages today? John, you have the serious papers.
I do. So The Eye and The Guardian are both continuing the pressure on this Tory, the latest, I should say, Tory racism scandal. Mm. The Eye: Sunak bows to Tory pressure to admit donor was racist, above a lovely picture of Kemi Badenoch looking offended. The Guardian, whose story it was originally, of course, has Tory donor remarks were racist and wrong, number 10. But just in case number 10 thinks they're getting off the hook, immediately below that is a follow-up story headlined Hester suggested staff, quote, climb on train roof.
Mm, weird.
More explanation of that shortly. The right-wing press is doing their best to ignore all of this. Mm. The Times: Rwanda plan will offer migrants £3,000 to leave.
Right. This is slightly different from the other Rwanda plan, right?
Different Rwanda plan.
Yeah, it's
Rwanda plan
one.
Mark two.
Yeah, yeah. This is one that if they are allowed to go home, they can have £3,000 just to go to Rwanda.
I mean, are they offering £3,000 to go on holiday to Rwanda?
That's what it seems like.
It sounds like that.
I would absolutely take
like
that
a
at this point.
Holiday.
I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, and the Daily Telegraph: Starmer will allow assisted dying vote, which sounds like a really big and important story, which we're not going to be talking about on this show, but which also doubles as a joke about the state of the government, I think.
Very good. Okay, Rosie, what do you have?
Okay, in the silly papers, I've got What Have They Done With Our Loved Ones' Bodies in the Daily Mail with a picture of Kate.
So right next door.
That's great.
Should we clarify that's not actually the same story?
No,
we don't need to clarify it. And then the son has got Paul Leaves 125k to his dogs. Oh. And then there's a picture of Paul O'Grady, and he looks really happy, but it looks like the dogs have been sort of superimposed on him.
So it's a little bit of a Kate situation.
Yes,
is that
I
what
think
you're
it
saying?
Is a Kate situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if all of those dogs are with him. There's one that's either got very long legs or it's just sort of looming up behind Paul in quite a sinister fashion.
Yeah.
So there's that one. And then the Daily Star, which is Piggy Britain, oink! End of table manners as we chew with our mouths open and won't ever put phone down.
Okay, that's it. So we're eating badly and staying on our phones.
Yeah, there's a picture of a man who's got spaghetti sort of vomiting out of his mouth.
Okay, look, John, shall we have a quick look at that Guardian story about Frank Hester? He is the biggest Tory donor. He has been accused of racism, and it is, in fact, a Guardian scoop, isn't it?
It is, and I think they are playing a blinder. So just in case you've not been following the news for the last couple of days, Hester runs a healthcare company. He was reported to have made some genuinely horrific remarks about Diane Abbott, which I'm not happy even reading out, to be honest. But he said that looking at her made you, quote, want to hate all black women, and that, quote, she should be shot.
Yeah.
He apologised for the offence caused. He apologised for the offence. He admits he's been rude, but his lawyers say the comments are not a true or accurate characterisation of the company or of Hester, which you will notice not a flat-out denial that he said them.
No.
Initially, Downing Street and the Tory cabinet refused to say his remarks were racist. They, as with everything Rishi Sunak is doing at the moment, he kind of tried to sort of satisfy everyone and thus satisfied no one. He said they were clearly unacceptable. But yesterday, a bunch of Tories, including the aforementioned Kemi Badenoch, Kwasi Kwarteng and William Hague, all came out saying, yes, are you idiot? They are racist, basically. Saeed Avarsi said they needed to be condemned and his $10 million donation to the party actually returned.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, funny you should ask. So Downing Street did eventually kind of get pulled over to the position they were inevitably going to have to take in the end to come out and say, yes, OK, he was racist. And the Prime Minister is apparently clear there is no place for racism in British public life. But one of the developments overnight is that a junior minister named Kevin Hollenrake is doing the broadcast round this morning. He was asked directly if they would be giving the money back. He said no. He was also asked if they would accept another £10 million donation from them. He said, I don't see any problem with that.
Wow, that's a bit weird. Because I can kind of understand that they might not give the money back because they might have spent it, to be honest.
It's a lot
but
of
like
money.
To then carry on taking it, that's
well,
appalling.
Well, a theory doing the rounds on Twitter, I think it was the politics professor, Philip Cowley, said it might not just be about the money itself. It might be about the fact that there is another party out there which is rather more open to racist views.
Oh, right.
That would probably be quite happy to take the money instead, and they want to make sure that doesn't happen. The other thing worth reporting that happened overnight is that basically almost the moment Downing Street actually apologised, The Guardian put out a second story with more quotes in which Hester had told a meeting of his company. He looked out in this crowded meeting and said, oh, there's no room for the Indians then. Climb on the roof, like on the roof of the train there, maybe. There were next to a railway line at the time.
Oh, no.
And he was talking about a forthcoming work trip to Malaysia, saying, I'm looking forward to going to Malaysia so that I can make new jokes. I don't know any jokes about Malaysian people, but I'm sure we'll find them.
Maybe he just wants to tell jokes, everyone.
He just wants to be funny.
Like, what can you do if all your jokes are racist?
It does just feel a bit like, you know, this is a man who is used to being in rooms where people have to laugh at his jokes.
Yeah, very much so. Now, in pretty much every paper, I have to say, there is a short piece about tabloid catnip Lily Allen and what she's gone and said now. Rosie, what has she gone and said now?
What has she gone and said now? Lily Allen has said that having children ruined her pop career, which is probably true.
It's probably true.
And she's very nice about it. She doesn't sort of rail against her children. that'd be awful, wouldn't you, bastards? But she says that she wanted to be there for them, that her parents weren't always, but as a result, her career really took a hit.
Yes, definitely. She's got two daughters called Ethel and Marnie. Ethel, I think, was very, very ill when she was born as well. So it's like even more pressure. And the father is Sam Cooper. She's not with him anymore. She's with the actor David Harbour.
From Stranger Things.
Yeah, we like him. Anyway, she was kind of promoting her own podcast. She's got a new podcast coming out with Makita Oliver. She was on the Radio Times podcast, so fair enough. But basically what she was saying was that you have to make a choice. And I feel like this is like a choice that women have always, for a very long time, have had to make, which is basically work or kids.
Yeah.
And things, you know, have got better, obviously. But in pop and kind of in any art form where you're the person where that people have come to see, like you can't, you know, unless you've got somebody who can step in and be you, you can't do it unless you're on the stage. So,
well, is this a shift? Because once upon a time, a lot of the money in pop was from the records, whereas now it's from the gigs, right?
Exactly.
Has this changed?
Is it Spotify? Hasn't Spotify ruined everything?
Well, kind of, and Apple before that. Yeah. But yes, you're right. So basically, how you make your money is going on tour. So, and that's obviously the bit that's really, really difficult. I mean, maybe you could kind of do it when your kids are tiny, but you can't do it when they're older and they're at school. So you have to stop. You have to take a step back.
Also, if you're having to gig a lot, I mean, that's not very conducive when you've got small children, is it?
Not at all.
Or pregnant?
No.
I mean, a lot of this does just sound like a sort of specific, not the bit about touring, but the stuff about the finances of the industry does kind of remind me of like ever creative industries too.
Mm. Yeah.
Where it used to be like, you know, by a certain point in life, you probably made enough money, you could kind of like relax a little bit. It doesn't feel like that really happens anymore.
No, definitely.
Carry on forever and ever.
Does anyone in this room have a pension?
No, and I was so much closer to pensionable age. You know what I actually worked out? So me and a pop music friend who I assumed had made money during the time that they were a pop star had a discussion the other day about the fact that we don't have pensions. And we thought, I know what we'll do. Rent our houses out and live in a van.
Oh, it's all right for you, your houses.
Yeah, because we've got a house.
Like
Alan Bennett, the lady in the van.
Exactly, that's our
option. Ladies in the van.
I think it sounds quite romantic.
Yeah, I think lovely. Just find a kindly writer whose driveway you can park on.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Now, the other story that's all over the papers, weirdly, is vets. The Times, The Telegraph and the FT have gone massive on vets and vets charges. How big business took over Britain's vets clinics, says The Telegraph. The FT goes on to. John, what is going on here?
Would you want the sort of like lovely personal cuddly story here, or do you want the sort of hard-nosed business angle on
it? Can we have both?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the hard-nosed business angle is that the Competition and Markets Authority did a little bit of sniffing around the veterinary market to see if it might be worth reviewing, and it found that prices are rising way above inflation. The market has been rapidly consolidated. Something like 60% of it is now owned by six groups, half of which are owned by private equity, which is, for anyone not familiar with the machinations of the financial markets, the evil bit. The result is that, you know, pricing is very untransparent. You take an animal to a vet, you have no idea how much you're going to get charged. It's not on the website. You're just holding your breath. And it thinks these things might be related. And it's just possible there's basically four incredibly rich guys overseeing most of Britain's veterinary sector might be having an impact on the fact that you can no longer afford your vet bills.
It does seem a bit weird, doesn't it? I mean, even in the stories in The Times and The Telegraph, they've got various stories. One woman, you know, paid 9 grand for a poor cat, and another guy I had another cat that was in the problem. And one of them got quoted £500 for keeping the cat in overnight.
Oh, that's
and
a
the
great
other one
moment.
Got quoted £1,000. I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is. So the story of Mark Delory, 47, whose five-year-old cat, Freddie, was hit by a car in the middle of the night.
I know.
It's quite a sad story. He limped to a neighbour's garden, was taken to an emergency vet. Mark sort of rushed to his bedside and was given a choice between having the cat put to sleep. Or he said, we can fix his pelvis, but well, we can't do it. You need to find a bigger surgery that can. So while he was looking for that, it's just before Christmas, by the way, Christmas story. The cat was in intensive care for 4 days at £400 to £500 a night. Here's the killer quote. I doubt they're checking in on him every hour. He was on intravenous drips to get fluids and food into him, but he was left in a cage. Of course. He was a cat.
On a drip. I don't agree.
Give him a bed.
You're not letting him run around a lovely little farm, are you?
He might have a lovely bed, but it's in a cage.
Oh, God.
But the guy didn't have insurance, which is rookie error. Come on.
Oh, no.
But his bill for this poor cat was £14,000.
14 grand.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
How much do you love your cats?
Ask some very difficult questions, this new story.
It definitely
becomes
does.
A bit Sophie's Choice.
Anyway, The Telegraph, because The Telegraph has been listening to us, has done quite a good feature. So they've done a feature which involves lots of pictures of dogs and cats, which is all we want. And it is genuinely about how much it costs to insure your dog if your dog is a particular breed. So what is the most expensive breed to insure?
It's a French bulldog for £1,508.76. I read that in a really weird way, but I'm not going to go back on it.
That's per year. That's a lot of money.
Also, so French bulldogs live for 9 years. How much?
That's about 14 grand, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, it's still better than your man's cat, which is like...
but he didn't have insurance, isn't he?
He didn't have insurance. But there's also a picture of what looked to me like a normal cat.
Yeah, it's a lie.
It's a lie
for a Maine Coon cat. It's just got a little ginger cat, but actually, they're massive.
Yeah, it's the wrong picture.
Alex von Tunzelman has Maine Coons. That's not a Maine Coon.
No, they're like the size of small horses, aren't
they?
They're
really massive.
Yeah, anyway, so poor Alex just has got to pay £672 a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot of money for those cats. If you have a normal dog, like our dog is a bit of a mix, we're not sure who the dad is, then it's not as much. So if you just get like a normal dog, it's really not that much for insurance.
That's really
just sad.
So basically the bastards are once again...
I think they call them mongrels.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I don't want to be politically incorrect.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saida Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, here at Paper Cuts, we love our headlines like we love our children, meaning we love them even more when they cut to the chase and make us laugh. So, John, what have you got today?
So, The Mirror, page 20. Crimes like the Hatton Garden heist are being replaced by cyber raids as bank robberies become a thing of the past, says the head of Interpol. Jürgen Stock says highly organised digital attackers are taking over from armed blaggers as the world increasingly goes online and the gangs behave like international corporate enterprises.
Wow.
Anyway, apparently 70% of fraud in the UK is now committed by criminals abroad. The headline is, "This is a click up."
Oh, as in this is a stick-up, this is click-up.
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
Sometimes it takes the time.
It does, it's hard.
Going to be honest, The Mirror often doesn't make it into this section, and I think there's a reason why, guys. The Star, that's more reliable.
Yeah.
Page 9. Banana-loving Brits will soon face a shortage of their favourite fruit due to climate change. I'm finding this out live. This is actually quite upsetting. I love bananas. Some UK shops have already experienced shortages due to sea storms delaying imports. Experts also fear crops are vulnerable to disease spreading in a warming world, which results in rocketing prices. Anyway, the headline is, "Yes, we have no bananas."
Of course.
Oh, yeah, Why would it not be?
Quite literal.
Yeah.
Over the page, page 10, there is apparently a heatwave on the way.
Yay!
Miserable March will turn into amazing April as rain is replaced by months of glorious sunshine, weather forecasters say. Have they just discovered the existence of summer? Is that what's going on here? Anyway, meteorologist Jim Dale predicts we're set for a scorching summer after one of the wettest winters on record. The headline is, Some Like It Hot.
That doesn't work.
No,
some
it doesn't.
S-U-M.
No, they gave up
it's
there.
Like, yeah, it's like, that's
I think
not
they were having a bad day.
I think there is a difference between, you know, your basic arithmetic and your meteorology.
I think it's meant to be like summer, short for summer.
Oh, right.
Summer like it hot. Yeah, no good. Okay, Rosie, you've got the star
okay,
as well.
Right, saw the star. So, locals cry foul over birds banned from city. Ooh. So a goose called Bruce, isn't that great? A goose called Bruce has been banished from a city centre after complaints his poo was a health hazard.
Surely all poo is a health hazard.
No, but the goose that's Bruce is particularly bad. Anyway, the headline is... Goosebusters!
Yay!
Exclamation mark.
Have we got a picture of the goose?
Yeah, look, there he is.
Oh, look, he looks a lovely fella.
His leg's been photoshopped out by Kate Middleton.
Has he only got one leg?
I think he's mid-walk.
Is him, he's mid-walk, or is he?
And then what else have you got?
And then I've got... So, fry-ups will help power planes flying from the UK's busiest airport. Heston Blumenthal's Perfectionist's Cafe in Heathrow will recycle its breakfast cooking oils into renewable biofuels.
Right.
Right.
So it's not actually the food, it's the oil.
The headline is, it's a fly-up.
Ah.
Yeah, that, do you think they were happy when they came up with that?
Yeah, that one actually works. That's why they put the fry-up bit in.
I think someone came up with that and then did a little self-satisfied nod to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing it now, actually.
I'm imagining a high five in a freeze frame.
Now, you can't fail to notice that a lot of papers are getting a right tizzy about the horse racing at Cheltenham. The Star's front pages of the last 3 days have been pretty rubbish because a good half of the page has been taken up with plugging their free Cheltenham pullout and free £2 bet. Rosie, there is a lot about horse racing, but actually quite a lot of it is about the fashion, isn't it?
It's about the fashion, yes. Mm,
yeah.
So how Cheltenham redefined British fashion, I think, was the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah.
It's terrible because I didn't even know. Do you know what I mean? You read it and you think, I had no idea. What have I been wearing? I haven't been paying attention to what they've been doing in Cheltenham.
It does explain your outfit.
Yeah, there we go. I'm supposed to be wearing brown. For those who are listening, I'm wearing blue, which is a big no-no.
It's a big Cheltenham no-no.
It's a big Cheltenham no-no. Yeah. They talk about how you need to wear a dog tooth and herringbone.
Yep.
I don't understand what either of those things are, but they sound toothy.
They're kind of like, well, what they are is kind of tweedy.
Oh, it's tweedy.
It's all kind of, yeah, a particular
tweedy,
kind of
not
weight.
Toothy.
Yeah, no, it's a particular weight of wool, basically, and pattern of wool. So you have to wear wool to Cheltenham, is what they're saying.
Mm. My favourite thing was they said you have to wear colours in hues to match the March mud.
So brown.
Brown? Brown, but different shades of brown.
Different shades of brown.
Sludge. They're like, oh, I like that. That complements the sludge your foot is in.
How did these people conquer the fucking world?
I don't know. There is a bit in the Telegraph where they go, a sea of 10,000 baker boy hats. It's a scene you could only take in at Cheltenham. And I thought, no, that's not true. It's literally every high street on a Saturday night because everyone wants to look like Peaky Blinders. That's not Cheltenham.
Yeah.
That's Peaky Blinders. What are you on about? That's so weird. Claiming all of it.
It's great. Well, they do mention that the, sort of the mixing of Peaky Blinders fashion with sort of well-cut suits for the men.
Mm.
So Cheltenham is taking inspiration from Peaky Blinders.
It is. And it's also, it's changed. So Cheltenham Ladies' Day is the idea where everybody just turned up and dressed up. But now apparently it's gone woke.
It's gone too woke. They're trying to go green. They're sort of avoiding saying Cheltenham Ladies, aren't they?
Yeah, they're calling it Style Wednesday, which isn't as snappy.
Not as snappy.
I do like the way there seems to be a competition between the papers to find the Cheltenham attendee who looks most like Kate Middleton when you're not paying attention.
Yeah, very much so. There's a picture on the front, is it the Telegraph, of a lady in a big blue hat. And genuinely, you think, oh, she's back. Oh, no.
I think she looks quite like Pippa, actually. You remember Pippa with a bum?
Yeah, Pippa with a little bum.
We loved her bum, didn't we?
Yeah. I'd just like to say there is a hat I have a problem with. It's one that you see a lot in Cheltenham. It is on the front page of, I think, the Times or the Telegraph. A woman is wearing it. And it's a kind of floppy trilby slightly Indiana Jones, sometimes comes in leather, with an enormous feather. This hat should be banned.
You can't have a feather in your hat.
It's just rubbish.
What are you doing? How annoying.
Yeah, it's
going to get in so many people's eye line and poke people who are taller than you.
It's just rubbish.
But you can use it for that. Like, you use it for emphasis when talking. You know? Yeah. You point your feather at people.
Your cavalier. Head forward.
What hasn't been pointed out is that the Cheltenham race has been going on, and so far two horses have had to be put down.
It's because they couldn't afford the vet bills, isn't it? Fucking private equity.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to John.
Thank you.
And thanks to Rosie.
Thank you.
And of course, thanks to you, listeners, especially our lovely Paper Cut supporters who get a shout out on the show. John.
Howdy. And you're my personal favourites, Ebony Charlton and David Barrow.
Thank you. And you're the wind beneath my wings, Aaron Gray and Helen Bolt.
And muchas gracias to Helen Napoli and Ian Brown. Amazing.
Ian Brown.
It's so nice,
that's
isn't
really
it? The roses
good.
Are on it. I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when it was revealed that only 1 in 5 young people are able to identify vegetables. 20% of young people could not tell the difference between a courgette, an aubergine and a cucumber. We must start a campaign. It's all about raising awareness.
It's not a vegetable. A raisin is not a vegetable.
See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with John Ellidge and Rosie Holtz. The producer was Liam Tate with assistant production from Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams, and socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison. The managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.